Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, President of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
A couple days ago, we weren't sure whether Senator Joe Donnelly was going to make it because the president is flying into Evansville to speak at Millennium Steel, 14th largest African-American-owned business in the country, talking about manufacturing. But Senator Donnelly got to be a part of Hoosier history on Wednesday, when President Obama, going into the Chicago area, one, to stay in his own house for a minute, as well as to make a speech yesterday at Northwestern University, landed at Gary Airport in the Air Force One 757, and the senator and the mayor were there to greet him. Senator, welcome.
Thank you very much. It was great fun to be there.
First, I got to ask you, how big a deal for Northwest Indiana, not just the city of Gary, but for the region, was it for a president of the United States to land in that area?
It was a big deal. As you said, it was, as far as I know, the first time ever at Gary. When the president came down the steps and the mayor and I were there, the mayor quickly said, as we had strategized beforehand, told the president, you know, in fact, because the president lives near the Hyde Park neighborhood, right, in Chicago. In fact, I think the Gary Airport is probably the closest airport to his house, mm-hmm, of all the regional airports, and, of course, the easiest to get in and out of. Right. And so the mayor did as any good mayor would do, said hello to the president, said, now, I want you to understand, this is the airport you should be coming into on a regular basis.
Does this also help not just in the city and the region's economic development around the airport, but it also helps you in Washington pass those pictures around to not only federal agencies but others and say, hey, it's time to get off the dime and make a decision about a third Chicago airport once and for all?
The very presence of the president at the Gary Airport clearly indicates how important that airport is, number one. Number two, we're working on a project for a long time now that's coming to fruition to make it a large freight destination, mm-hmm, for everyone who comes in. So freight can land at O'Hare,
right,
and it'll be a 14-hour flight from Hong Kong or China, and it lands there in one day and sits there for 4 days as they try to get it through all of the hubbub and all of the other commerce. In Gary, we can have it land there in one day and have the product out the door and on its way in 2 hours. And so that's what's trying to be built there.
One of the reasons for the president to land in Gary was this situation where a disgruntled employee did damage to our regional radar facility in the Midwest in Aurora, took his own life as a part of that. But it also, there are these lapses that are occurring, whether it is the Secret Service mess, whether it is this air control where, and not to mention all these hacking, 75 million households hacked for J.P. Morgan Chase. It seems like our key infrastructure is under attack, whether it's ISIS, whether it's bad guys, whether it's just some dumb people. Do we need to really worry about this? Is this something that is going to come to the fore in the next 2 years?
We need to live our life every day and just go about raising our kids, loving them, growing a business, working hard in a job. But this is a presence out there, Amos. Mm-hmm. I serve in the Armed Services Committee, and the constant hacking attempts to try to get, for instance, the designs of our submarines, mm-hmm, the designs of our planes. We've seen military hardware come off in China, their new hardware come off and look and go, that's our plane, mm-hmm, or that's our ship. And it's clear at some point that the designs were stolen, that the designs were hacked. It is breathtaking how many attempts are made every single day.
Your opportunity to talk to Senator Donnelly, there's a lot of things going on, so I don't want to dominate the conversation. 239-1310, 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos.
One of the things on the Secret Service,
yeah,
is that the incoming director, mm-hmm, is the person who was the president's number one guy for years. President Obama's number one guy for years. He was in charge of the president's personal detail. And I think the president and Mrs. Obama said, this is the guy we want to finish this up with us.
But are you also concerned that the regular Secret Service officers, agents, were so upset about how things were going on that they felt they had to go tell the Washington Post. It was almost like they were crying out for help. Help us. We need help. Our own folk aren't listening to us. And they, and maybe out of a sense of pride, they didn't feel like whispering in the president's ear, like when he's in the car, hey boss, can I hip you with this? And instead they went to the media, they went to whistleblow.
There is, first and foremost, such a fierce devotion to the president, and that's to any president, whether it's President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, that their very being, it's almost hard to explain, but their very being is focused on protecting that person, that everything they do, they will take that bullet. Mm-hmm. And if they see things going sideways, like you talked about, that's probably, I don't know how it got to the Post, but there's certainly a good reason to believe that some folks who said, you know, I am worried, I am concerned, I'm not seeing things change around here, and we've got to make changes.
Is this something where, and I know he has talked to our service personnel, particularly not just our active duty, as well as our wounded service personnel, and allowed them to tell him face to face things that are going on. Is this something where maybe he needs to pull some of these folks together, have them over to the house, they know where it is, and just simply say, hey man, what's going on? Hey lady, what's going on?
Well, I think that, you'll probably see the president and Mrs. Obama be sitting with the new fellow's name is Joe Clancy,
right. Mm-hmm.
And he was the president's right hand.
Right.
And I will tell you that I expect the president to speak to Joe on a regular basis, mm-hmm. to Mr. Clancy, and I expect Mr. Clancy to basically be sleeping about 4 hours a day and about 20 hours a day, making sure everything's buttoned down.
239-1310, we go to Monique with Senator Joe Donnelly. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to you, Senator Donnelly.
Hi, Monique.
Hi. There is a network of misinformation within a Citizens Energy Group, and my question to you is that should Indianapolis residents be denied running water?
Hmm. Boy, I don't think Indianapolis residents should be denied running water, and if there's an issue about that, just give our office a call, 317-226-5555.
And, I'm gonna get that.
I'm sorry, I'll say it again. 317.
I wish you could text it to me. That's been my word of the day. Just text it to me. Okay, wait a minute. I'm ready.
You ready?
I thought you mean to me. I was gonna say, I get confused when I text. 317-226-5555.
Senator Donnelly's office.
And tell the staff that you talked to the senator on the radio today.
Okay, thank you.
You're quite welcome. 239-1310, 239-1310.
I think if I text it to her, I may accidentally text the text I'm sending to my daughter on directions to how to get somewhere.
Yeah, that's not good. You're on armed services.
Yes.
And I would dare say right now, my audience and maybe most Hoosiers are not in favor of putting boots back on the ground in Iraq and not putting boots on the ground in Syria. What's the reality?
The reality is that this group, ISIS, is one of the most vicious, unthinkable organizations we've seen, maybe since like the 30s and 40s, Amos, that some of the things we saw back then. They promote genocide.
Right.
They promote beheadings. They have killed Americans. And they are they're a group that doesn't stay static. And what I mean by that is, for instance, they're a group that, okay, say they took over an area the size of Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
They're often on their way elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so their goal is to take down the government of Jordan,
mm-hmm.
to take over Saudi Arabia, to then take over other countries nearby. And so this is one of those moments where we can deal with them now or we can deal with them later.
Mm-hmm.
On the Iraqi front, the Iraqi army, the Kurds, and others are the ones who are leading the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we have advisors who mm-hmm. are in the area, right. but they are not in combat.
What happens, or are you worried that we're doing airstrikes along with Arab partners and other allies, and even think a couple of countries in the, of members of the former Soviet Union are also participating?
Sure.
Are you worried what happens if one of those folks gets shot down?
You know, I think everybody knows that's a possibility, mm-hmm. that in war, extraordinary, unthinkable things occur. And you pray to the good Lord that it doesn't happen, but that's a possibility. And the question is, do you let this group continue to execute people, to continue to take over countries, one after another, where you look up at one point, and in effect, there is no more Jordan, there is no more Saudi Arabia, there is no more Iraq, there is no more Kuwait, that there's just the Islamic State.
239-1310, back to the phones, and Jeff, hi there.
Hey, Amos, how you doing?
I'm fine.
And how you doing there, Mr. Senator?
Good. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. And I just want you to know I'm going to vote for you again. And I'm glad Richard Murdoch has disappeared into the sunset. And I hope he never comes back.
Well, thank you for the vote. I sure appreciate it.
And I was about this quagmire we got ourselves into. Well, actually, it was George W. Bush and his outfit and his gang that got us into this mess, and they want to point it to Obama like it's all his fault. But, you know, these ISIS guys are, they're the same equivalent as the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazi Party. I mean, and what's it going to take? Do we need to go in there again with special forces, armed forces, tanks, whatever, and wipe these guys out or something? Because these guys are monsters. There's no ifs, and buts about it.
Let me let the senator respond, because I'm trying to get to as many regular folks, not regular folks, but callers to the senator as possible. Senator?
They are monsters, like you said. These are folks that have come up to Christians and said, either convert or we'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
They have come up to other sects of Islam and said, convert or we'll kill you. They have come up to group after group and just executed people straight out, thrown them in a ditch. That's what they do. And so the level of violence, the level of genocide, we haven't seen in a very long time. And so special forces will be involved. They are already involved in helping the Iraqis reconstitute their army to put some backbone in it, to give them some direction. So special forces are already over there. We have advisors in the area. This has to be multi-nation, Amos, because you can't get the region to buy in if it's just the Americans against an Islamic group.
Right.
It doesn't work.
It's got to be like Bush 1, where everybody goes in.
That's right.
The first time. The other thing is, if after the election, it looks like we've got to put more forces in there, which becomes very, very expensive. Is this something, and the other side keeps talking about, we got to balance the budget and cut. Is this something where we put in an emergency tax? We're in an emergency, and one of the failings of perhaps George W. Bush not putting in an emergency tax after 9/11, when everybody was ready to rock and roll and let the American people know, okay, we got to do this. We all agree we got to do this. It's going to cost us money. It's a temporary tax, and when it's over, we're going to end the tax and just lock it in the law.
Whatever we do, we have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not right to put the bills we run up today on our children.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time in Iraq and in Afghanistan, it was the first time in history, as you know, Amos, mm-hmm. You're pretty sharp on history. It was the first time in history that we went to war and put forward a tax cut at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it created an extraordinary economic havoc as well. So we have to pay for this.
239-1310, I got a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Said, Amos, ask the senator if he was aware of the shady business practices of mortgage companies and servicers, preying on elderly through shoddy accounting and dual tracking. The servicers have been able to sidestep regulations, the mortgage transferring servicing in order to not comply with mortgage settlement. Can you hold hearings on this matter?
We are constantly trying to make sure that we are up to step with financial organizations that are dealing on servicing of mortgages and servicing of other things. Mm-hmm. I served on Financial Services Committee for 6 years. And so if there's something specific that has happened, I would love to know.
So the person that sent the text message needs to call 226-5555.
Right.
And if they've got documentation, set up an appointment with someone in the office and bring all that documentation down.
Perfect.
Okay. I can't text you back, texter, at 4095. But 4095, you heard it. Call 226-5555. We'll take a break with Senator Joe Donnelly. We'll be back with him after these.
This is Reverend Jesse Jackson. You're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light, in the source of inspiration and praise.
I was just looking on Twitter. Your colleague from southwestern Indiana, Congressman Bouchon, is waiting at the airport for the president. The governor is also waiting for the president. You kind of looked at the letter that the governor sent to the president. He's trying to get like a one-on-one, like a two-minute meeting. But it seems like in the governor's letter to the president, he's anticipating that the federal government is going to say no on the Healthy Indiana plan.
Well, first I just want to mention, I had about a long time ago committed to speak to Habitat for Humanity's 30th anniversary luncheon, right. Which was at the same exact time. Otherwise I would be down there with the president as well. But, you know, I think that's unfortunate when I read the letter where there's an anticipation of it not working, because in the letter says I will not, I will not make this change or that change. It is hard to negotiate unless you're willing to talk, mm-hmm. unless you're willing to, you know, what I've always found is everybody getting 70% is a lot better than all of us getting 100% of nothing. Mm-hmm. And we need to have a program that provides health, that offers health care to these people.
Let me go to Dave right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
And I would like to remind the senator that when George Bush did his tax cuts, it wasn't the tax cuts that got us in problem. It was the excessive spending by Congress.
No, it was also the tax cut.
If you'll permit me to finish,
absolutely.
I would appreciate it. George Bush's income to the federal government went up dramatically in those years. And also, have you read Panetta's book that has come out and talked about the strife between the Secretary of Defense and the CIA and the generals when the president decided to yank all the troops out? And you can go back to the debate when Romney had with the president during the foreign relations aspect of the debates, where the president said that he thought that leaving 10,000 troops in Iraq would be undue pressure on the situation over there and cause more problems than not having them there. And this president was told by almost everybody not to pull those troops out, and to go back and say, well, the Iraqis wouldn't give them the legal standing they needed.
All right, Dave, I've got other callers waiting, so let me let the senator respond.
Well, first, the Iraqis would not sign the Status of Forces Agreement, and I don't think any American wants to leave behind any of our soldiers if they are subject to Iraqi courts, which is what happens without a Status of Forces Agreement. I wouldn't want a young man from Indianapolis or a young woman from Muncie to be serving in Iraq in our military and not be subject to American jurisdiction. It should be American jurisdiction they're subject to, not Iraqi jurisdiction. And certainly, you know, there is discussion about how many we could have. Could we have had the negotiations go a different way? And so would it have helped to have people there? Obviously, it would have helped to have people there. But can we get the Status of Forces Agreement done, which was critical? Number two is the conditions are all put in place for the Iraqi government to have success. It was their own refusal to work among the different religions, the Shiite and the Sunni, to work together. And that division helped to create the opening here. So there are a number of things that were involved. And as I said before, what I said was this was the first time we ever had tax cuts at the same time we went to war. If you look back at our history, time after time, we even, in fact, put in extra levies or extra taxes at the time to make sure that the effort would be paid for. And so it just sends a mixed message when you do something like that. And the fact that deficits exploded during that time of President Bush as well is also, just as you mentioned, the spending got out of control under President Bush while he was there.
239, I appreciate it, Dave. 239-1310. 239-1310. Since we last talked, the Census 2013 American Community Survey documenting the state of the country in all 50 states and geographies said that in 2013, the number of Hoosiers in poverty increased to over 1 million, 1,016,000. It could be less than that today. It could be more than that. As you go around the state, as your staff goes around the state, 1 million Hoosiers, that's not just all African Americans. That's folk all over this state.
You know, poverty touches everybody, Amos, every group. And you have in some of the most rural areas of our state some of the worst poverty that we have as well. And it ties into a number of factors, family structure, education, skills, the fact that you can be working 40 hours a week now, and working 40 hours a week, you're still in poverty. Mm-hmm. That's why I've supported an increase in the minimum wage. It's been about 7 years since we've had an increase, and I think that can help put some extra dollars in people's pockets. And so what we want to do is try to make sure everybody, that you get a good skill set, because there are jobs out there that are looking for specific skills, and if we can match the skills with the job, somebody will have a chance to have an extraordinary career in life.
239-1310. 239-1310. We're talking with Senator Joe Donnelly. As we look at this election cycle, and they say that a lot of people on both sides are not voting, and I keep hearing that the Democrats in the Senate, that y'all are running around like chickens with your heads cut off, and they're all panic stricken, and you won't ever be in the majority again, and there's woe, and there's gnashing of teeth on Capitol. What's really the mood up there?
The mood for me is I don't worry about that kind of stuff. I work for the people of Indiana, so whichever party's has the majority. I can work with anybody as long as they want to try to do common sense things that can make our nation stronger.
Are there things actually getting done in the Senate?
The people who get the publicity, Amos, are the ones who spend most all their time throwing bombs instead of trying to actually do the work. And so it's just like about like any organization, you see that some of the loudest people are the people doing the least. And the rest of us are putting our heads down and doing the work. And so I have wonderful Republican friends who I work with every single day. And that group in the middle is going to be the group that determines a lot of the policy we have going forward.
239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoon's name is... I'm trying to talk to Drew because can you get a law passed that forbids corporate IT from turning off your computer during regular business hours? That if they got it, so Drew, I'm trying to find out who's on my line here, and now I see everybody wants to call, and my computer literally went out trying to do an update. While I'm talking to a United States, wait till I send a memo.
That's okay.
To corporate IT.
I still don't know how to use all the features in my BlackBerry.
So, Drew. I'm going to go old school. Who's on the line, Drew? We'll go old school. You're on the air with Joe Donnelly. Who are you? How are you?
Oh, this is Ron.
Hi, Ron. Go ahead.
Hey, Ron. How are you?
I'm just thinking about these talking points that some of these guys have. What a lot of people don't know is about a status of forces agreement. You can't force a country. You know, it's almost like these guys wanted the president to reinvade Iraq and then force a status of forces agreement down their throat, you know. And like you say, to have U.S. forces serving under a foreign country under their laws. Now, I've been to South Korea. I've been to Germany. Okay, we have status of forces agreement with those countries who agreed to it. The Iraqis didn't want us over there any longer than we were. And President Bush signed the order initially to withdraw those forces at a certain date. And as far as the tax thing, I agree with you that when Bush did the tax cuts, he went to fight two wars, and he passed that Medicare Part D, I think it was.
Oh yeah.
Deal, and had no money. There was a, you know, those Republicans forget that there was a surplus when Bush came into office. That's all I have.
All right, I appreciate it. I think I got, is it Gus at 239-1310? Hi there.
You know what, Amber? I don't want to talk about it, what's going on in the Middle East. I want to talk about what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri with the governor.
Go ahead.
Governor, I mean, Senator, what was your take on what happened in Ferguson, Missouri?
You know, I'm a strong supporter of the police here in Indianapolis and in Ferguson, and we are still waiting to see the final result. There has to be on both sides an understanding of how can we best police our community. I was fortunate enough to ride with my friend Sydney out in Hawville, and he's an extraordinary policeman out there, mm-hmm. and has done an extraordinary job. And he has a touch with people right. where he can get out of the car and be talking to folks mm-hmm. and spend time with them
right.
so that they come up to him and they trust him. And they're willing to say, hey, listen, we've got a challenge here. We've got a challenge there. And so I think one of the most important things we can do is try to have a police department that also, I don't know if the word is exactly friends, but is tied into the community on a constant basis so everybody knows everybody. And I think it's also important, you can't set down exact quotas, but it's important to have a police department that everyone also feels comfortable with, that it reflects the community also, whether it's racially or in another way. I know in IMPD we are looking to always find talented African-American folks in the community. I think it really helps when you have a strong mix that also the community is comfortable with.
Gus, you still there?
Go for us to point out fingers at other countries like Russia and Israel, and we got citizens in our country who have been shot at with tear gas bombs and chased like with police dogs, and I think we're not perfect either, you know, and Ferguson really exposed a lot of that, and I think we, you know, as a country, we all have been embarrassed about that.
All right, let me move on, because we've got a couple more callers in here. 239-1310, 239-1310 is after his name is. Let me go back to the line. You're on the line with Senator Joe Donnelly. Hi there. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
He did not answer the question sufficiently for me, because anybody that shoots down an unarmed person is in the wrong. And so he is not touching the issues on this. And I do not agree with the senator's comment, because he should be outraged if a policeman is in wrong, like he is about that lawyer that defended someone years ago. He came out all strong about that. So why don't he come out strong about this issue? It is wrong for anybody to shoot down an unarmed person, and he needs to speak up and then speak out. That's my comment.
All right, let me let the senator respond.
Yeah, the reason I have not said this one's right or this one's wrong is they're still in the investigative phase of this. And I'm not going to prejudge something that has been involved in investigation. If it's a case of someone being simply unarmed and standing in the street and being shot, that is outrageous. But why don't we try to make sure we find out what all the facts are first?
Is it also, and I know you have probably talked to your colleague, Senator Claire McCaskill.
Absolutely.
About this situation. Is there also a lesson in this, in that everybody went out and voted on the presidential ballot when Barack Obama was running the first time for president and the second time for the reelection? The fact that the people of Ferguson, most people in Ferguson, did not get out and register to vote, and they ended up with a government that was insensitive to their needs, is one of the lessons of Ferguson. The importance of not only voting for president or United States Senator when everybody gets interested, but everything on the ballot, including local elections, school boards, mayors, and what have you.
If you want to have a voice in your town, you have to have your voice be heard. And your voice is your vote. And so it's an absolutely critical element, is that for people to come out and to vote and to make sure that their voice is heard, it is the one place where whether you have $1 billion or whether you have $1, your voice counts equally in the United States.
Yes, Senator Joe Donnelly, it is always good to see you, and you're bringing in the cold weather.
I am. It's as I travel down here, it's coming right with me.
Senator Joe Donnelly, always good to see you. Thanks very much for being with us.